But I told you before, the teacher said after 10 years we should meet there. And
well, start from the beginning. At the end of the school year, the teacher, what was his name again?
Frankel.
Frankel invited the whole
Not
class.
Not invited. We went for a, this was in time of school day.
Mm-hmm.
We went of such a picnic, we call it.
Okay.
And we had a good time there.
And the picnic was at a place close to the Vistula?
Stegenes.
In a Stegenes. Okay.
That is the name of that area, Stegenes. It was right on the border of Vistula, the river.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful place. I mean,
was it a public park or?
This was public. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, belonged to the city, to the government. And
so you went there with, how large was your class? How many kids were there?
About 30.
30?
Yeah.
And it was the end of the school year, so it was
yeah, it
June?
Was, no, it has to be in May.
In May.
Because in May we used to go for those picnics, they used to call it Majówka.
Majówka.
In Polish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the classes used to go at different times. So. And
so you went with the kids, the 30 kids, in the all the kids went?
Yeah, it was time
at school.
The time of school. You had to be there. And we had a good time, but what I remember, when he said he wants to say something, you know, the teacher, and that's what he said, that next year we all will be gone from school and everybody will go his own way. Somebody will go maybe to continue school or teach a trade.
Were there many of the kids that went on to go further
no,
at school?
Not
no.
Even one. I think the doctor's daughter went out when she was in the fifth grade. But anyway, nobody could afford to go to higher school.
Higher education.
No.
So the teacher said that next year.
No, yeah, we all will be going different ways. Let's make a date that 10 years from now, if you remember, let's meet here again.
And this was what year? That was
1937.
37.
Yeah.
1937.
2 years before the war.
Okay.
So, and this was the end of it. But I remember that. And when I came back in 46, was how much? 9 years after.
Yes.
I was the only there.
The only one there to come back.
From that class. And there was with me one man who survived Auschwitz, because we used to walk around in those historic places where the Visegrad youth used to. Saturday was full of there, every Saturday, Jewish.
Mm.
Yeah, full. To go there, picnic, you know,
sure.
Took a blanket and some food. And this was the Visegrad entertainment, I mean.
Yeah.
It's under fresh air, out of. Fresh air was all over my Visegrad. It was not effective. So.
How prominent was the Gmach family in Visegrad? Was it one of the major family, or was there other families that were well-known and respected?
Well, well-known was a few families, but the Gmach was a big family. You know, and there was another, like your grandmother, Alta Chaya, she was a Gmach too.
Yeah, they were cousins.
Cousins, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a few, there was a different, it was by three different roots, but they came actually probably from, yeah, according to the three. The Gmach family was, but there were.
But they were Gmach both in Visegrad and in Lovech?
Lovech and in Plotsk.
In Plotsk they were
yes,
also Gmach?
Yes, yes. In the Plotsk, I heard they were cousins somehow, but I don't know the relationship. There were Gmachs in Plotsk, in the Loivich, those who, you know, what was their name? Idolaib.
Mm-hmm.
Their father was Idolaib. You know whose son was Idolaib? Jacques.
Mm-hmm.
I think he died.
Jacques?
Jacques' son.
Oh, yeah, that's, I forgot his name.
In French, I don't remember. But I know yeah. that this, he is named after Jacques in
after Thomas. Grandfather or father?
Father.
Okay.
Idolaib. And that Idolaib and my grandfather, Yanko, were cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, come.
So, and but so you knew that there was family in Lievich, that they're Gmach.
Yes, but I didn't know them those years.
Uh-huh.
You know, they didn't come. I maybe they came, but I don't remember them. No. Only in Paris when I met them. But I found pictures in Luxembourg's mm-hmm. house in their album, pictures of my father. And she, when I was there, when I came to Paris, you know, Quai de Paris, the street where they lived.
I don't know where they lived.
On the Seine.
Quai de what?
De Paris, or just facing the Eiffel Tower.
Ah, Solferino?
No, the street.
The quai.
Quai. Quai de Passy.
Oh, Quai de Passy. Who lived Quai de Passy?
Luxembourg.
Oh.
I remember. I've been there with Esther.
Okay.
They invited us for dinner, and Henri was there, and Bernard, and a maid was serving, and we were sitting, and I was admired the behavior of the two boys.
Mm-hmm. Different, very proper behavior.
Different upbringing, like in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
When we finished dinner, they asked permission, father and mother, an excuse to us if they can leave. They mm-hmm. had to do homework, but they had to have the permission from father and mother. And when they said okay, they went and kissed father and mother in the head, and they walked up to me. I said, oh my God, that's Paris or...
Okay. Now, tell me, after you finished school and that episode in the park, what did you do in the 2 year between 1937 and 1939?
My mother
mm-hmm.
wants me to go to agronomic school.
School of agronomy.
To take over the land.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she wants. Because my brother, Yanko, went to Warsaw for a good job he had.
Mm-hmm.
And Avrum went and took him. Actually, they were together in the army.
What did Yanko do in
Warsaw? My sister Paula used to go to medical school, and mm-hmm. she was practicing in a private clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And she found a job for him there.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to try the job and grabbed them right away. It was good for that job.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever exactly he did, he was not a medic. Not the medical education, but he did something there, and he made very good money, and whoever could go to Warsaw was very happy.
Mm-hmm.
So he stayed there in Warsaw, maybe worked a year or a year and a half, and he was drafted to the Polish army.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother saw that he went to Warsaw, they're going to the army. My mother wanted me because my father was the youngest in his family, and I'm the youngest in this family, that I should take over the land.
So what did you feel about it?
I listened to my mother, and I want to obey whatever she said, but I didn't like it too much, because to be on a farm, and when the sun goes down, you have to go to sleep. There's no...
It's not fun.
Not too much fun. You talk to the horses, you talk to the cows, you talk to the chickens. We had plenty of this. It was a healthy life. But the only Jewish family in the whole area had land.
Now, where you had the land, did you have also a little shack or a little building where you could stay overnight or not? But you have to go back 7 kilometers.
No, we had a house there.
You had a house.
Oh, my father built a beautiful house.
Ah.
Yeah. And the front of the house, the door was his initials, MG.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you something, that MG, you know, wooden, you know, nice, the door.
Engraving.
And when you walk in, was they call it a veranda,
mm-hmm.
like how do you call this in English?
Greenhouse?
No, a little roof,
yeah.
And two benches in the sides, and very nice to sit. You used to sit there in the evening, you know, talking.
A veranda.
A veranda, that's what I said, a veranda, yes. And when I came back in 1946, I stand at the doors and I kissed the initials and I cried. I was there with a guy, Freisinger, who is in the picture with your mother and the Steganes. I have.
Mm-hmm. But that house was still standing and
yes.
Everything in 47, 46.
Yeah, yeah. There were Polish people
living in it.
Yeah, when I left, were Germans. We had Germans put in there to they worked for us. In 42, 39,
mm-hmm.
were there the Germans. In matter of fact, when the Germans were already occupied Poland, my mother thought that's going to be okay. So she sends me down with the bicycle I went, that in the brought wood, burning wood.
Mm-hmm.
For the winter, like we used to do every in the fall.
Fall.
We used to bring wood. And I go down, and those Germans still obey my mother's
orders,
and they brought woods to for the brand, to, you know, for the winter. And this was very interesting. I didn't know, because it was still quiet in Michigan. The Germans. There were no SS, there were the soldiers that took Jews to work, but there wasn't beating or shooting.
Mm-hmm.
One Jew was shot, an old man went too early to prayers in the morning, to the synagogue, and he was shot in the middle of
the street?
Yeah, in the middle of the square there. I was still in Warsaw that time, right after the war ended. And I went down and I said to our working people, the Germans, and they brought the wood to the city. They unloaded, everything was done, and nobody bothered. But somehow, in the farm, in the countryside there, somebody told the German police that the Jewish person was here from that land, and they took woods to the city. And the Germans there, whoever was in charge, without our permission, you understand? My mother didn't know that we needed permission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't yet that Nazism there, that the Germans didn't rule yet full power. They were there, it was occupied. And when I came back to town, I was with the bicycle, everything was okay. A few days after that, I left to Warsaw to go to Russia. Because in my mind was that, who are we? We worse than rats.
Mm-hmm.
They took us to work, any dirty work. They didn't beat us.
Who took you to
the Germans?
The German, local German, or the German?
No, the German occupiers. There were a government already, and they gave orders to the Jewish community, to the synagogue, and the Jewish, the shamis. You know what's a shamis? Mm-hmm. Like, you know who was the shamis? That Gmach, one from the Gmaches, a brother of your grandmother. He walked around in each house and said, give one man or two men to work. We have to give every day, let's say, 100 Jews to go to work. And I went a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And
this was 1939.
39, right after the war
started.
No.
And finished.
Yeah.
That was what, in the fall?
September, October.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this right next, the next month after the war ended in the end of September,
mm-hmm.
beginning of October. And so, a few days after I came back from the country and this was unloaded, and they brought potatoes also, a wagon potatoes, everything went fine. And I made, you know, I talked to my mother that I want to go to Russia.
What gave you the idea that it would be safer in Russia at the time?
Because we believed that time Soviet Union is free for everybody. You know, we start believing more in mm-hmm. communism than Hitler, because who? We knew that Hitler
was bad. They couldn't be that bad.
But some Jews in Visegrad, including my mother, and mostly Jews, didn't want to move because they didn't bother.
Mm-hmm.
6 o'clock, it was curfew,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't some tailors start working, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't normal, nothing. Like
it was still tolerable.
Yes, as long as they didn't shoot, 6 o'clock you have to be in the house. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever would walk in at night after six, I heard the boots, the German boots walking. Mm-hmm. You know, I was so
nervous.
Yeah, and there were rumors that people, especially Jews, going to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to go to Warsaw for that.
But in between the end of your school and 39,
uh-huh.
was there anything that you can remember?
Oh, sure. So, like I said, my older brother went to Warsaw.
Mm-hmm.
The younger brother did work for a cousin from the Goldbergs. He did, how do you call it, making furniture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
It was a
carpenter. Yeah. He learned this also by himself. In the summer, we went to the farm. This was in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the winter, was not too much to do on the farm except to feed the animals.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a home in the country, in the land, and we had a house in the town where we had the store, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, in the meantime, my mother wanted to send me to that agriculture school that I should know more. And I said, okay.
That was 1938.
And I said, okay, but I wasn't too happy about it, mm-hmm. because I'm going to wind up in the land, on the mm-hmm. countryside. But I would listen to my mother. But in the wintertime, when we're in town, I went to a friend of mine. His father was a tailor. I did a little bit tailoring for Alex's father.
But this was not in Visegrad?
In Visegrad.
Okay.
This was.
But where was the School of Agriculture?
Oh, near Warsaw, Grochów.
But, so you
I didn't go there.
You didn't go there.
Because the war got in the middle.
Okay.
If the war wouldn't be coming in 1939, I was, because my mother and father knew a guy, his name was Moshe Ash. He used to come to us visiting to the farm because he was an engineer. I remember him. And I supposed to go to that school in Grochov. And I think...
And he was associated with that school? Or?
Yes, he was there like the director in that school.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people went to that school who went to Israel.
Oh, in
those years, yeah. You understand?
Yes. Was there in Visegrad organization, Zionist organization that organized the kibbutzim locally?
They organized kibbutzim to go to a kibbutz someplace else, but in Visegrad was no kibbutzim.
Okay.
The only thing was the last 3 or 4 years, my youngest sister, Salah.
Mm-hmm. It's Salah or Sarah?
Both. You could say Sarah or Salah or Surul or whatever you want. Anyway, the last 3 or 4 years before the war, that sister belonged to the Zionist organization.
So your youngest sister?
Yes. They called it Hanoara Tzionim.
Hanoara
Tzionim. You know, mm-hmm. It's a Zionist organization. And I remember she begged my mother that my mother should allow to come, not a kibbutz, a summer colony.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
A camp.
Here it's a camp. And I want to tell you something. My mother didn't know what to do, but she loved that little girl, and she allowed to come. And believe mm-hmm. it or not, from all over Poland, Lithuania, Latvia,
mm-hmm.
those little countries, kids came to our land, and the representative from Palestine that time.
To your land? In other words, the land that you're...
In our land.
Okay.
They
organized a camp there?
A summer camp.
Okay.
And what I want to tell you is, this became, for the summer, an entertainment for the whole area in that,
mm-hmm.
in that area. You know what's a camp?
Yeah.
They sing and dance, especially Friday evening.
So they use the house or they...
No, the house they used for cooking.
Mm-hmm.
We had a kitchen. The kitchen was big like that living room.
Mm-hmm.
The kitchen, you know, not the... Or the stove, I mean.
Yeah. You know, the stove.
The stove. But because we cooked big things. Those, how do you call... for the cows, for the, you know, potatoes, mainly potatoes.
Okay.
Yeah, for the animals. And when they came, they used to make cooking on the outside too.
Mm-hmm.
But something they used to cook there too in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So every evening they were sitting, they made, you know, fire, dancing around the fire and singing Hebrew song.
So this was fun.
Fun? From 5-6 kilometers away, people came. Polish peasants.
Not even Jews?
No, there was no Jews in that area.
Okay.
Germans, yes, but Polish came and learned the song they used to sing with. I swear to you, Misha. It was so much fun. They were singing Kinnan and Milken and so on, and the Hebrew songs and Havanagila, whatever. They learned the songs. It was the Polish, they were like,
That's nice.
And this went on about 3 or 4 years. The last year, before the war, starts September the 1st, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like in August came a order from some place that we should liquidate all the camps, and they went to Vilno, you heard of Vilno,
mm-hmm.
Latvia.
Mm-hmm.
And even my sister went there with them. They all grouped over there, and we didn't know exactly the reason. but we smelled the war is coming.
Mm-hmm.
In September the 1st, the war started. Mm-hmm. And those, and my sister came just the day when the war started. And a lot of guys didn't come home.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened those years, when the Germans came into Poland, and Latvia was still not occupied, so there was a Chinese consulate, and a lot of kids got visas. This was, I saw it on television, this, not a few, maybe a year or 2 years ago, that there was a Chinese consulate, there was some woman help those people with visas to go to China.
To China?
To China.
Mm.
You know, and I know a guy, he lived here in New York, from Estes Town. One guy, his name was Moshe Baylis. He was in Shanghai all of those years, from the war.
Yeah, actually, one of the Treasury Secretary of the U.S.,
yeah,
not Blumenthal, but a name like that, was a Jew that emigrated to Shanghai
uh-huh.
During the war, or maybe was born in Shanghai.
But a lot of people from Poland
mm-hmm.
and from that group, what I told you, went to Shanghai from Vilna.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many could then actually the Soviet Union occupied
Vilna?
Those towns, yeah, because
the pact
with Germany.
Yeah, Hitler Stalin.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when the 1941, the big war started, the Germans against
Russia,
it's natural this was occupied again by the Germans.
Mm-hmm. So but why would they go to the Chinese consulate, and why Shanghai?
Misha, you're asking questions. Wherever you could escape, wherever it was a little hole to get out of, from. Why? I went to that time in 1939, I went to Warsaw. You know, the trip from Visegrad by boat to Warsaw, what I went through? One was at the boat.
When was that?
39 in October. In the beginning, in the middle of October. I took a boat. How? I heard in Visegrad.
From Visegrad to Warsaw?
Yeah. I put the boat on the Vistula.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that people, you know, I was, how do you call it, snoopy. Mm-hmm. And I heard how people talking about going to the Free Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And why not?
Mm-hmm.
And who was talking the most? Communists.
Mm-hmm.
People who were...
Who were in the village the most active communist voices?
Oh, well, a family called Walfisch.
Ah, I heard from my mother.
Yeah, Walfisch. Sure, Walfisch. And in effect, there were two brothers with me when I went, and the sister, three people from one family. My brother-in-law was also, but he didn't go that time. Not everybody went. Who else went there? Mostly those guys who were imprisoned in Poland for communism.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? They were imprisoned. They were registered as communists. And Hitler didn't wait too long. If they find out, you get a bullet and goodbye, Charlie. So I heard from that Bill Gerasa brother
mm-hmm.
that they were talking about going to Soviet Union. So I said to him, his name was Chaim, I said to him, Chaim, I would like to go too.
Chaim Bilger?
Bilger. It's that Bilger from Paris, a brother. Matter of fact, he died in Russia.
How old was he?
That time?
Yeah.
If I was, let's say, 18, he could be 22, 23, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually a Zionist, but You want to get out, I don't know.
So you got associated with him?
No, not right away. Okay. He chased me away. He called me all kind of names, that I'm too young and I don't understand and it's not true what I'm thinking. So, you know, I had a nerve to say to him, Misha.
What?
You know what I said to him? And sometimes I regret what I said, but I wouldn't do it what I said. I'm not the type to do this. I said to him, Chaim, if I cannot go with you, you will not go either.
Mm-hmm.
What that means,
he'll denounce him.
I'll report him. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And he got scared. I remember his face. He got scared of me. And one day, he tells me, tomorrow, we're not grouping, but everybody gonna come to where the boat stops. And we're gonna go on the boat and we're gonna go to Warsaw. And from there we go, he knew already where we're gonna go from there. So the day came and I said to my mother, I had money with me, but I said to my mother, I'm going. And she was crying, where I'm going. She says, the two older brothers are not home, because Avrum, we didn't know what happened to him. The oldest, I know that he survived in Warsaw the war. He was a soldier, both.
Mm-hmm.
But the middle one, we didn't know where he is. He didn't come home.
Mm-hmm. You mean Yanko?
No, Avrum.
Avrum.
The middle didn't come home. Yanko, I know he is in Warsaw.
Wait a minute. Avrum went to Warsaw or went to where? Vilna?
No. Avrum was in the Polish army.
Okay.
In Yanko at the same time.
But he never came back.
He came back when I was in Russia already. I didn't see him. You understand? But when I was there, he was not home yet. Yanko, I saw in Warsaw, fighting in Warsaw as a Polish soldier.
Mm-hmm.
But when the war ended, I went home, but he stayed in Warsaw. He had a girlfriend there. So,
So you went on boat from Visegrad to Warsaw.
To Warsaw.
What happened in Warsaw?
So we stopped in passing by a city, Modlin, where there was army, Polish army had their
the fort.
Yeah.
Actually, in that book, there's
That's you see what I mean?
Yeah.
The over there, that Modlin was fighting when Warsaw fell already. They were still fighting.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of work to be done. So Germans came up on the boat. The boat stopped there. You know, this was a halfway. Stopped there. And Germans came up on the boat and screaming, Jude, Jude, Arbeiten. They looked for Jews to go to work. When I heard that, I opened the door. There was, you know, a toilet. And I got into the toilet and I closed. And they knocked the door and I made, you know, that time. And they walked away. They looked for others. And I survived. I didn't come out till the boat started moving again. I swear to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking what happened to the whole. There were about 12 people from Visegrad at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walked around, we didn't talk to each other on the boat. You know, we didn't make that we together. And I see all of them are there, including those Valtish, the daughter. One girl was between us. Well, she was much older than she was Rosette's age. Anyway, we arrived to Warsaw.
So they didn't go out with the Jews when the German asked for the Jews to come
out? Oh, they must catch some on the boat and take down. I don't know. You know, I had to save myself. What could I do? Mm-hmm. And then I saw all of them for my time. They all were there. Everybody hides someplace. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Anyway, we arrived to Warsaw, and we took carriages, you know, those horse carriages, to a place where we supposed to meet. And I was there. I was staying in Warsaw a few days. And we were in a place where there's small trucks carried people to the border, to the Soviet, to the Russian border.
Mm-hmm.
We paid for that, had to pay for that. So my sister Paula.
So how long were you in Warsaw between the arrival of the boat and the truck that led you to the border?
Oh, I could have gone to the border the second or third day.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister Paula used to go work that time in the hospital. And she was carrying an armband with a Red Cross with the swastika.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath the Red Cross was a swastika. That means that she could walk after curfew time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because she worked in the hospital. And she came where I used to stay there, sleep, in the Bilgorai's apartment. The Bilgorai had that was a relative. And I stayed there. And she said to me that she wants to come with me. She wants to go there too. But she said, it's very dangerous for her especially. If she don't come a day to work, and she get caught, she gets shot immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who works in the hospital, if they don't show up to work. So when I supposed to go the first 2-3 days, she said, no, she wants to wait for the next group goes. Because every day went a group. There was special, swindlers who want to make money, and that carried us to the border.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I'm going to wait for her. And I stayed there another few days. And every day I go there and I ask when it's going to be a group. They organized a group, and they said, let's say tomorrow we're going. I said to Paula, you going this time? She said, not yet. You hear this?
Mm-hmm.
So I said to her, Paula, I'm going. And there was another group, and also from Visegrad, a bunch of people. And I remember the words she said to one man was her age. He was a communist. He was in prison in Plotsk as a communist. And I remember she said to him, his name was Simcha Djedzic. She said to him, in Polish she talked, so please, Simcha, get back to my brother, Hakin, because I was the youngest. I wasn't 18 yet. And he said, okay, I promise this and that. So,
what was his name?
Simcha Djedzic.
Simcha.
Any Visegrader knew that.
Djedzic?
Djedzic. You know what means Djedzic in Polish? A prince. A landowner.
Mm-hmm.
It's a special name.
Mm-hmm.
That name you have to belong to a group of those judges.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a Jewish name.
And Simcha, was he much older than you were?
Yes. I would say 5 or 6 years older. I would say Yitta sage, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So you traveled on it was a truck or a bus? Or?
A truck, a small truck, and they put us in corps.
In what?
You know, when you carry apples or...
Oh, in drums?
Not drums, made from...
Wood?
You know, those...
Oh, in bags?
Also not. Anyway, when you carry fruits, apples or... Okay.
Is it cardboard?
Not cardboard. It's made from straw or something.
Oh, jute. These are brown.
Yeah. You got it. Write it in French. And they covered us like we are some kind of fruits. And we had to pay so much. And they brought us to the border. And this was a swindle.
Do you remember what town, what border town?
Sure. But they didn't bring us to the town. They brought us, there was a river, Bug.
Border. The edge of river Bug.
Yeah, and there was a town, they call it Brock.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to bring us across the river Bug,
mm-hmm.
to Brock and let us stand on the border.
Mm-hmm.
But they told us this is the border.
Mm-hmm.
They fooled us. And we gave them the money and we were still on the German side. You understand? So we were hiding because we saw this, we're still with the Germans. We were hiding, and there goes a man on a boat, you know, on a fishing, a small boat. And I'll never forget that situation. And we were hiding in the bushes, in the grass, and we stopped him. So
mm-hmm.
he asked us for money. And we gave him half a dollar that time, half a dollar to take us across.
Mm-hmm.
So that guy was an honest guy. He said, I'll take you across, but you still won't be, this is still on the German side, you're still not in the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
You have to walk to Brock and walk and walk. So we go in there, night is falling.
Mm-hmm.
And we went into, you know, peasants to sleep over. We had to pay again for sleep over in the barn. Because you walk at night, you get shot. So we sleep over. And in the morning, in that judges, whenever we had to pay money, that Jejit says to me, I should pay for him because he doesn't have the money. The money, what he has, he put in the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
This is a story.
Couldn't get it.
Yeah. You see, he said, when we come across, I'll give you back all the money. And I paid for him because he's supposed to be my
mm-hmm.
guardian. And we start walking. That peasant told us, go this way, east. We had to go east. We got caught by Germans.
Mm.
Yeah. And the Germans came over and they said, we have watches. So whoever gave him a watch, they let us go. Then we walk and walk and walk. We meet already Russian soldiers. And the Russians take us back. You have to go back to Germany.
Ugh.
I was laying around, that's why I have the sciatica, 8 days on the border. Not just lie around. It was raining, muddy, and I slept in the mud.
like everybody else. And finally we came to a spot where it was the neutral zone. We got between the Germans and the Russians. At least we're not on the Germans. The Russians didn't let us in. It was closed, the border. A few days ago they closed the border. The Germans, you could go. Imagine that maybe 4 or 5 guys from Visegrad went back. Even a cousin of mine, one of the Zlotnik, Rukhch's son, both brothers were there. There were two brothers, Yanko and Kalman.
So who was the leading figure in that group that went back?
Back to the Germans?
Yes.
There was not leading people. They made up their mind.
Were 4 or 5?
4 or 5, but I don't know if they went together. One said, we were sitting and talking on the border, you know. We were just talking. And my cousin, that Kalmus Lutnik, used to say to me, he called me Arlo, you know, little boy, you're going to get sick here, you're going to starve to death, let's go home, you know, like this. And I said, you asked me why, what made up my mind to go. I said, I'm dying here, I'm not going there. Do you understand my will?
Yeah.
Another guy was there, Avrum Liechtenstein, in Herschel Karp. I remember those names. You should know a Karp from Paris, a brother of his, a younger brother. Had a girlfriend. He loved her so much. He's here by himself. He said, I can't. That Herschel Karp and Avrum Liechtenstein. They were by themselves, without the girls, girlfriends they had, you know, love. And they went back too. They said they cannot live without the girls. That's what they said. And my cousin, Kalmus Lutnik, didn't have official girlfriend, but he said, how can mother, I don't have a father because they shot the father. So, but the other brother, Yanko, went through to...
Okay, so remind me the name of those that went back.
Went back that time, Herschel Karp, Avrum Liechtenstein, can assume Abram or Avrum, Avrum Liechtenstein, and Kalmus Lutnik. Those three I remember.
Kalmus Lutnik?
Yes, that's a cousin of mine. They went back.
Okay. And this was in still in 1939.
Sure. And like
November.
I don't know. Close to end of October. Maybe November already. I can't remember. It was the fall, the rain, and the cold. You know.
Okay.
So we were laying in the neutral zone.
You have no roof, nothing?
On the floor. On the floor. And I fell asleep in a laying tree full of water, full of mud. And I woke up and I didn't feel my right leg. You know, how long can you walk around day and night? Roof. You ask for roof?
So it was raining also?
Most of the time. It was fall. This is Eastern Poland, the worst climate in the world. Mud and mud. Yeah.
Okay. So finally, what opened up?
Let me explain you something. I remind you, Pola. Then I said, Polya and Warsaw, that I'm going to go. I will not wait any longer because I wait for her. And I said, I'm going to go. You see my will?
Mm-hmm.
So she said to me, well, like a brother to a brother, take with you matches,
mm-hmm.
salt, and a few cans. You could buy this in Warsaw on the black market. It wasn't open stores. So a bag of salt, matches, and a bag of sugar. This is, you know,
essential thing.
Yeah. Matches.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she said, and I took. When I was in the neutral zone, this is an important thing to know, there were still houses, peasants, Polish people, who had land in houses in that neutral zone.
Mm-hmm.
The Germans and the Soviet Union made, this is the border, this is going to be the neutral zone.
Mm-hmm.
But there were still houses, and mm-hmm. in the future, they're supposed to
destroy
those houses and make empty neutral zone, move out to the west or to the east. And there were Polish people inside, and people there from our call refugees were there before me.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of money, and they were sitting there in the under a roof. There was no room where to stand in those houses.
Oh.
And that owner from that house became rich. Everybody paid.
Mm-hmm.
And when I sticked in my head, I couldn't get in, just to get away from the rain. So I was screaming, I'll never forget this. I have sugar, I have salt, I have matches. So the woman comes over and calls me in. So she said, what do you have? What I, so I didn't give her everything. First I said, can I have a plate of soup? So she gave me potatoes with milk, warm, and I ate this.
That must have been good.
Yeah, I didn't have a little bit warm in my stomach for the whole time I'm here. And in Warsaw, you think I ate? It was more. Then she said I should give her so much salt and a thing with matches, sugar shit. And I gave it to her. So I said, can I sleep? You know, she said, you have to go out right away. The deal is to eat the soup and to get out because there is nowhere to stand here. And she they collect from everybody something. You understand? So unfortunately, I had to walk out.
Hmm.
You understand? But I had a plate of soup. So I don't remember. Yeah, what I saw on that board in the neutral sun, every day lunchtime, 12 o'clock, a German officer with a package and a Russian officer met. There was a highway like, but there was no movements, just cut off. And that border, the neutral zone, was about 2 kilometers wide.
Uh-huh.
And a Russian and a German
would come.
They came mm-hmm. over, I'll never forget this. Both salute each other, the German this, and the Soviet Union this, and they exchanged packages, documents. So we were sitting and looking, he said, that time the war was signed, that pact between Molotov and Ribbentrop.
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
Mm-hmm.
For, I don't know how many years, 10 years or something.
Yeah, but this was in a year early, in 1938 it was.
No. Oh, maybe they did in 1938.